If you've been thinking about private label, I just want you to hold off a little bit. I've got about 2 weeks, and I'm just giving you a little bit of a tease that I'm going to offer something that I've never offered before. It involves me and my family and my warehouse and possibly your products. And so I think it's worth waiting for. I just ask you to hold out, give me a little bit of time to put it together, and then I think it's a pretty good offer. So I'll be back with it.
Welcome to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 209, Michael Ross. This is Michael Ross without wife, Brittany Ross, and I interviewed them back in October of 2015. I can't believe it's been that long. They were episode 36. And I suggest you go listen to that episode for perspective. Because A, it's a great marriage episode where it talks about how married couples can work together and should work together. And it really comes down to trust and respect and, you know, communication and that common sense stuff, right? But this time, Michael's by himself, and I get to ask him about their business, and it has changed. They've changed as they've learned. And so this episode is with Michael, and the following episode this week is going to be with Brittany. And I just think that listening to them together and then listening to them apart shows you how much they are on the same page, and I just think that's such a great thing. Let's get into the episode. Okay, welcome back, and I'm very excited. Again, another live recording with Michael Ross without Brittany this time. And you know, it's funny, we were together episode 36. That's crazy to me that it was 36, October of 2015. Think about how long ago that was.
It's been a while ago. I wondered if this would happen again, to be honest, because I've seen so many people with their second, and I think how many times you've interviewed Chris Green at this point?
Chris Green is the second time. Chris Green is going to be every 100.
Okay.
For as long as he wants, and I think he's earned that right. This is sure. This is Steve's theory. All right, there are two people. A, my best friend Andy. He has every 101, 201, plus he'll come on whatever he wants, right? Just because. And then Chris, I think, has earned it in our world because he was, you know, he really was one of the pioneers, I think. And I know people were before him in this and that, but he put it in a book form and a book that I used and benefited from. So I just want to pay him the respect that I think he deserves and earned. And when he says, Steve, I don't want to do it anymore, that's cool, you know, but I think that that's fair. So, I've tried to get you on a couple of times, but your schedule and my schedule, we're both busy.
Sure, and I actually would prefer to do it live. Do you still do phone interviews?
I do. I do it over Skype. Majority of them are. So, but now that I'm traveling so much, now that I'm retired and I can get to more of these conferences, I'm doing a couple of them. So I'm going to do a couple this trip, and then next week I get back and I'll do a whole bunch of them during the week. And so I'm still trying to figure out my schedule because the hardest thing for me is getting a formal schedule. You think, oh, you're retired, you can do this and that. It's not, because I'm doing so much traveling and I'm doing so many different things. It's very difficult for me to get a schedule down. So I'm struggling with that. So now you are a full-time seller.
Yes.
Your wife's a full-time seller.
Yes.
And you've got young kids.
8 and 5.
8 and 5. Wow.
Yes.
Getting old. Amazing. And so you should be able to tell me about how to manage your schedule and maybe give me some advice.
So trying to be disciplined about the time you spend at work when work is at your house, essentially, all I can say is that we try our best. We don't always manage our time as well as we could. If the kids are home with us, obviously that takes away from the things we need to get done in our work schedule. As they always are, the kids are at home, you know, after hours or on the weekends. Sometimes we may feel some urgent need to go take care of some work-related tasks that we really shouldn't be engaged in at that point in the week or in the evening. It's a struggle. We have to try to manage it. We don't always succeed. So
one of the things that I see, at least in my life, and tell me if this is fair. Our work, this e-commerce work, has become our life, and our life has become our work.
not in the negative connotation where I was in a corporate office, where I was on call literally. I mean, I told somebody this story last night. I was on call 24/7. When the alarms went off on the building, I'm the guy they called. Right? I had the key to everything. I have all the passwords and all the secret stuff. That was a 24/7 operation. No matter where I was always reachable. That was pressure. That was, you know. Here, we're on a trip, you and I together. We're in Denver, Colorado for a conference. And sometimes my wife comes with me, and a lot of times your wife comes with me. It's become part of our life. You know, it blends, and then today we'd be done with this, and we'd go and see some sights and go out to dinner and stuff like that. In a positive way, I think, which I don't think many other industries, I don't know about your previous career, would have ever had that. How about yours?
In my previous career, there might have been times where I had to work late, but there was never a time where once I was off that I had to think about it.
Oh,
you know, okay. I didn't have, let's say there was some sort of a deadline on a project. There was no reason for me to take my work home with me.
Oh, okay.
You know, because my day-to-day tasks usually got done within that 8 hours.
So you were able
day.
To basically turn it off.
Oh, absolutely.
Go home and have a life separate from your work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never had that.
Okay.
My whole career has always been, and maybe because I was an executive at a company, it just always was we were in a business that was 7 days a week. We put out a product 7 days a week. And so nights, weekends, 52 weeks, we never miss a day. It was 365 days. We had a daily paper come out. And so every single day. And never turned off, ever.
Sure. Well, you can probably relate to this. It was sometime last week. It was before the conference. You know, Facebook activity. Everybody's on there chattering away. And I don't remember what the post was about or what the thread was even, what was all contained in it. But David Hawkins
loved
made
Hawkins.
A comment
Love David and I.
That I thought, for some of us, is so true. And a lot of us, maybe it's not true. And a lot of us, maybe we deny it. But it struck a chord with me. And if anybody wants it, I think it's a great merch idea.
Go for it.
I am my business.
Oh.
And he wasn't saying it, I don't think, as if he was trapped in his business.
Right.
I don't think he was looking at it in a negative way. Some people might think of it in a negative way because a lot of people, I mean, who wants to be their business? But I got it. I feel it.
And you didn't take it in a negative way at all.
No.
Well, I think about that.
We do, in a lot of ways, become the... Because when I'm doing my job, I'm not sad about it. I'm not frustrated with it. I'm not staring at the clock hoping that 5 o'clock rolls around. Oftentimes, I look at the clock and it's 4 and I think, oh no.
Well, where's my day?
Yeah, like I've got stuff that I want to get done if I want to push this business forward. So I, in a lot of ways, you know, I am my business. And when I'm not working, I am my family as well. But
they're completely woven together. I mean, is that the fair way to say it? They really are.
Well, I said earlier, it's a struggle to separate the two sometimes. So yeah, they are woven together. But it is nice to turn off. I mean, I haven't looked at my inventory. I haven't looked at my sales.
Good for you.
I haven't looked at my orders since I've been.
That's because you have a partner, though. In fairness,
yeah.
You have a very, very strong partner, Brittany, and you know that she can carry the weight while you're off. Fair?
Absolutely. I talked to her yesterday, though, and she said, I just can't get motivated to work today. And I said, then don't.
Isn't that awesome?
Know? She used to tell me all the time, I want to quit my job. I want to quit my job. You know, back when she had a job. And I always said, then quit.
Wow.
But that's just kind of my attitude, that if you don't want to work today, it'll still be there tomorrow.
Right.
If you hate your job, leave.
So think about the person with the brick and mortar. When they're saying, I am my business, how different is that? I mean, I think about that a lot. I feel for those people because, you know, I'm sure when times are good and things are great, I'm sure they love it or whatever. And I'm sure they went into it with a passion thinking, oh, man, this is going to be the best thing I've ever done in my life. I don't know where I was. I saw a beef jerky store. Now, imagine your whole life is I make my own beef jerky. I can't wait to open my own beef jerky. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that was their passion project. However, you know, Friday nights, weekends, kids' recitals that you're missing, when I am my business, for them, there's a different connotation, isn't there?
Yeah, but I think, I'll tell you what, if you're excited about beef jerky, then my hat's off to you for opening a store. The issue that I see is that the people that come into your beef jerky store, how many of those people are there because, you know, they want to poke their head in and take a look around, and how many of them are there because they're excited about beef jerky? one of the things I like about this business is that all these people that I'm talking to at this conference, and there's probably a few outliers, but most of them are excited about what they're here for. And so that comes across in conversation. So if I owned an antique mall, for instance, I think that I'd be really happy about that, because I have
that
a real
your
passion.
Way you started, yep.
And guess what? My customers would be engaged, because a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are really excited about the same things I'm excited about. Owning a beef jerky store, on the other hand, I think that you're right. After a while, you would realize that you've kind of just, you've created a real prison for yourself.
Right, and I think they would not want to wear the I am my business, because that would be a negative for them. Oh, I am my business. Without me, it doesn't exist. That's a scary thought. You know this business could outlive you. Yesterday when I spoke, it was very telling for me. When I asked this crowd, how many of you are going to grow your business this year? Did you see how many arms went up?
Yeah,
every
lot of.
Single one of them. Actually, from my point of view, I did not see one not go up.
That's good.
Now imagine that, and when you go into one of these declining industries and ask that same question. I came from a declining industry where we laid off 80% of our staff, and so if I asked that question there, there wouldn't be a hand to go up, because they know what's coming. Here, as you said, the optimism, there's nobody who expects to fail. There's nobody. That's like how positive is that for you in reinforcing what you're doing, and how does that help motivate you?
Sure. Well, I was able to raise my hand because my business has already grown this year. So, like, without question, unless we stop working tomorrow, we will grow this year. But no, I appreciate the enthusiasm. I appreciate the positivity from the crowd. And believe me, like me, I'm sure a vast majority of the people in that room have already seen their business grow this year. Is that directly tied to the fact that you know, traditional retail is slowing? Yeah, I'm sure there's some of
Maybe.
That in there. But I also think that it's directly tied to every individual's own efforts to actively grow their business. We get better year after year as the rules come out and everybody looks at like 2014 or 2012 as the good old days. It's amazing that Amazon seems to keep making it more difficult, but we all seem to be getting better and having better years year after year.
I think the good old days are coming. I honestly have changed my opinion. I believe the good old days, we haven't seen them yet.
It just depends on perspective. The good old days are always going to be just a couple years behind you if you're focused on how things used to be. I can easily think about how much easier it was at one point or another, but it makes more sense for me to think in the terms of where I am currently and how it's really still not that hard of a business.
No, well, I think that because you were an old eBay seller. So just imagine, remember what it used to be like trying to list and sell on eBay versus what it is today. Mm-hmm. It's 100 times easier. They've made it 100 times easier, and that whole thing carried forward. It's only going to get easier even yet.
Sure.
Hold on. Yes. Hi. There's no need to clean. We didn't even use it. And same thing with the room next door. Please don't clean.
Okay.
Thank you. Welcome to the world of hotels. It's okay. So, you think about that. To me, what's going to happen with Amazon? I agree it's going to get more restrictive and all the rest of that, but as you fine-tune your business, right, as you said, it's gotten easier in essence, right?
I think that... Or clearer, how about I use that word? I think that we get better at what we do. I mean, it's like with anything. You practice. We've done a really good job of just focusing in on some things. We're still scattered. We still have our hands in, our business in several different places, but we are more focused about how we run those separate operations. I still do, okay, so for anybody who doesn't know, I still do a little bit of RA.
Okay.
But most...
Is that because it's fun for you?
It is fun for me, but I've focused it down to the point where, like, 80% of my RA right now is just replenishables. Like, I know what I'm after. I know what I'm going for. But once, maybe twice a month, I'll take what I call a chaos trip, where I just go to a town and I'll hit a Target and I'll hit a Meijer and I'll hit a, you know, a Kmart if it's still open. And, you know, I'll go into a Walgreens. I don't go into these places ever unless I'm on a chaos trip. And I do that just kind of, you know, it's energizing a little bit.
To mix it up.
It's a treasure hunt, right? Okay. My replen business, there's no treasure hunt there. I mean, you know, I go in, I get what I need, I'm out. I can, you know, what used to take me, you know, 10 hours, once I left my house, I'd leave at 6 a.m., I'd be back at the house maybe by 4, right? Maybe by 6, it might be a 12-hour day. Now I can leave the house at 7:38 and still be home before 5.
So you get to see the kids off and then get home and almost have dinner with them.
Yeah.
And because you become so efficient at it.
Yeah. And then the same for our OA business, the same for our wholesale business, you know, and I think we're pretty close to actually getting some private label stuff done at this point. And I'm launching a software soon and we're doing merch. You see, we're spread too thin, I believe. And I believe that a lot of people in this industry are in our position. But we have managed to focus down how much time we commit to each of these endeavors.
Well, that's interesting. So you're spread too thin, right? You're saying that. You're making that broad statement. However, is it helping you to say, okay, this has to go? It's kind of forcing you, because you're spread so thin, to start saying, okay, I'm going to be efficient, first off. No matter what I do, I have no choice but to be efficient. And then, more importantly, okay, I've done this for as long as I want to do, and it was a good experiment almost, and okay, ready to turn it off. Do you feel like that's where you're going?
I think that's where we're going.
That's awesome.
One thing I can say is Brittany and I both work less than we ever have, and we've got the biggest business we've ever had. So that's great.
Say that again, because that's powerful.
We both work less than we ever have, and we also have the biggest business we've ever had.
Wow.
So we've managed to grow our business while reducing our roles within the business. And if we can focus more, I think that that's where we're going to see a breakthrough. Because right now, and I think a lot of people at this conference, by the way, we were at the
Rocky Mountain Conference.
Yes.
Yep, we better say that.
I think a lot of people at this conference would agree that they see little piles of money everywhere.
Yeah.
And so we reach for this little pile of money over here, but over there there's a little pile of money, and we keep reaching for little piles of money, and they might grow little by little as time goes on. And I truly believe this, and I'm guilty of not doing it, but if we would just pick a spot and dig, we would find treasure.
No question. All right, what I want to do is I want to take a break, because when I want to come back, I want to talk about the role that you and Brittany had in your business and the roles that you have now, because there is a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is very exciting that you figured that out, because your episode 36, by the way, back in October, my first couples where I really spend a lot of time with a couple, and it's helped a lot of relationships, believe it or not. I send that to people, and I see people commenting because of the way you guys work together, treat each other, and I love it. So let's take a quick break.
I was talking to Karen Locker the other day from Solutions for E-Commerce. We all know she's a sponsor of my show. She pays me. I don't want to hide that, right? The other thing she reminded me, though, is that if you sign up for her service through my link, you get $50 off, right? You knew that. I forgot that she offers an inventory health assessment. I'm like, Karen, I probably should be talking about that valuable service. She's going to take a look through your inventory and help you figure it out. They're going to take care of your suppressed listings. You tired of having stranded inventory? Is inventory getting lost? When's the last time you looked at your shipments to get them reconciled? How about refunds? Has that happened? Well, Karen takes care of all that for me. She's been doing it for almost 2 years. I pay the same rate you do, but I'm very, very pleased with the service. Two well-known guys in the area reach out to me saying, hey, you've been with her. Are you satisfied? I'm perfectly satisfied. And again, I can message her. I get the services I need. So it's Solutions for E-Commerce. The only way you're going to get that deal is using my code MOMENTUM. I have a link on my website. You have to go there. If you're thinking about outsourcing that piece of your business, get your inventory looked at. So smart, so kind, so generous with his time. And I really enjoy his knowledge. I mean, the guy's smart as a whip, but they work together. And I just love the fact that they work together. To have a partner that strong in this business, man, they've got a big competitive advantage, because they're not one in one equals two. They're definitely five or six as a team. Let's get back into the podcast and see where they're going, which I think is so cool.
All right, I'm back and talking with Michael Ross. Michael, make sure you get this again. Their backstory is episode 36. It's an amazing story. Michael and his wife, Brittany, he's at this conference today without Brittany. She's back running the shop and handling the kids and that kind of thing. And so that's the beauty of having a partnership.
And it's a whole other interview for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, it'd be interesting to hear her perspective without you present.
Yeah, and because, without hearing this interview.
Oh.
Catch her before you release this thing.
Oh, all right.
And see how our answer is different.
I think I will do that. That would be very cool. Well, you know, I put out that secret recording that I did that I'm not publishing, where if you attend this conference, you get it. And I really think you ought to listen to it. And I would ask her, you should ask her the questions to the answers to those questions that I asked, and just see if anything changed or anything that you're surprised. I'll be honest, my wife is one of the people that I interviewed, and there was one comment she made that kind of was like, huh. I literally went, huh. Now, we've married 31 years.
Uh-huh.
And I went, huh. And so that gives me a place where I can probably improve as a husband or pay more attention to. And that's why we've been married 31 years, because I watch for those signals. And I missed this one clearly, but now I have it because I asked those questions. So I think that'd be a pretty cool thing. I think I might do that. That would be very, very neat to do. So when you guys were together last time with me, you guys worked together, you kind of handed off things, you kind of had some identified roles, but you clearly were both doing some of the same things and working. You were on the road most of the time, mm-hmm. and you were... and she was doing this. How's that different today?
So I spend quite a bit more time on property, right?
With her?
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow. We share an office now. You know, we used to have, and we still do, a very large half-finished, half-not, but the basement area is about 2,500 square feet. We don't use all of it for business, but should we need all the space, it's all dedicated for the business. And I used to work down there, and she used to just work at the kitchen table, and I was on the road quite a bit more. So during our 8-hour day, you know, at home or otherwise, we didn't see a ton of each other, and that's okay. But now we had in upstairs, it was like a back patio, but it had a roof over it, and it was all screened in. We went ahead and windowed that thing in and got a nice door, you know, and everything. So now we share that office. It's a nice space for both of us. Our desks are basically touching, and it's still great. I mean, we work together well. We always have.
Is there a productivity? Well, let me say it this way, because I don't want to put a negative spin on it. Do you have to be mindful of the productivity drain that could happen, because you could be doing something and just sigh, and then all of a sudden you bring her into your world like, oh, what's wrong, right? Because
right.
That could happen, and that does happen. How do you handle that?
I'm more likely to vocalize than she is, meaning
okay.
I don't know if she's sighing or like expressing any sort of disappointment through you know, any guttural noises. I don't hear it.
Okay.
So I don't actually think that she does that. I know I do, because And I think she's just learned that it's better to probably ignore it than to start the conversation.
Because you'll suck her in.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, if I really want her help with something or want her opinion with something, I mean, she's my wife. I'm not gonna be afraid.
Well, let me ask you an honest question.
I'm not gonna be afraid to ask her and interrupt
her. Do you think that
her.
You sigh intentionally to suck her in?
I don't think I do. I think
okay.
that all my life I've been a habitual yawner.
Okay.
I just yawn, and I'm just more vocal. I belch more, I whistle more, I clap my hands more, which is not... But, you know, I like to announce my presence more,
okay.
probably. So I don't think I sigh intentionally. I think that
okay.
it's
so
probably...
Freud, I would wonder what he would say. You know, is that done to help bring somebody into...
Oh, probably.
You know?
I mean...
Yeah. Because I think I do. I honestly, when I sit back and I think about myself, I probably do that. And to get a reaction, I think that's probably what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it to get a reaction. And then the reaction, I think it would affect me.
But I don't think that we bother each other
okay.
by working so closely together. I think that we actually do quite well.
Is the communication different? I don't want to say better. Is it different?
Well, okay, so we see each other quite a bit more during the day, and I might be quicker to ask her for her assistance now that she's right there, and instead of, you know, maybe I would have spent more time trying to figure out a particular thing
as
in
a
the
man,
past.
Right, that's your way. That's a nature.
I don't get hung up on that really, but the fact that I was, you know, all the way downstairs and she was all the way, like, I might have actually spent a little more time trying to solve a problem. And now, if I think there's any possibility that she has the answer, I will ask before I try and solve the problem.
Well, that's efficiency. That's
if she doesn't know how to do it either, I'm not trying to depend on her to solve it for me. I just want to know, before I start problem solving, do you have a quick solution? And, you know, that may...
How many times, you know, out of 10, would you say that she actually has a quick solution for?
Half.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah. Think about that. So you became, you know, that much more efficient on that 50%. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't have to spend any additional thought reinventing the wheel, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe her solution might not have been the best one, and you might have been able to build on it or whatever, but the fact that you can just answer it and move on, I think, is a big opportunity.
And if she doesn't have the answer, there are cases where putting two heads together
for
might
sure.
actually help us solve the problem
Absolutely.
A little bit faster. So, I mean...
So is that one of the reasons that you feel like you guys are working less? I mean, could that be one of the 100 reasons that you're working less?
It absolutely could be one of the 100
pretty,
reasons.
Right, because there are 100, right? There's not one. There are 100.
Yeah.
You're gaining time here, here, here. What are some other areas that you feel like you've gained time?
Well, I don't know if Kyle worked for us the last time we talked, and if he did, it would have been right. Yeah, he had just started working for us the last time that we did one of these interviews.
Okay.
And Kyle is he is Brittany's cousin. He's 24 years old. He is he was in the reserves. So he did serve. He's very disciplined. He's very smart. He doesn't ask for much. You know, he's never asked for a raise. We've offered. And once something hits our garage, whether it's OA, whether it's our, no matter what it is, I never see it again until it hits my inventory.
So he's prepping everything.
He's prepping everything. He's listing everything to Inventory Lab. He's prepping it. He's shipping it. And earlier this year, I finally gave up control of office inventory. So now he's taking inventory of all. So he's doing all the polybag ordering. He's doing all the, you know, whatever it is. Right down to, you know, right down to scotch tape. If
so, he's an operations manager in essence.
Yeah.
A working operations manager.
So that's been huge.
Really?
Yeah, that's been really huge
and
for our business.
How has Brittany's given up the control there too?
Brittany, I don't think ever really enjoyed prepping and packing and any of the office work, or not the office work, but the warehouse work essentially. I do enjoy it to a degree, but I don't do it anymore. So.
And so that's a big moment. Does he do it better?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, there was no hesitation
that's hard
there.
I know. That's hard to admit. Because I think, and this is where I still go back to, and you're not hung up on it, but I still think men are wired this way, because we are hunter-gatherers. We go out and kill something, drag it home, because we're the men, right?
Mm-hmm.
We think we do it, at least Steve's saying this, so I should say Steve thinks, I do it better than anyone. Nobody else is going to care as much as I do. There's no way he can do it better. There's no way. And you're saying, without hesitation, yes. I mean, you didn't even pause.
This goes against traditional business practices. But I have had to tell Kyle on several occasions, if you don't slow down, you're going to run out of hours this week. Like, we're not going to have work for you, because it's happened, right? Like, he moves so fast and so efficiently that I can bring, you know, we can have sitting there what I look at as 3 days of work. And between 9 and 5 o'clock, it's all gone.
It's gone.
It's all gone. And when I say I look at it as 3 days of work, I believe it would take me 3 days.
Wow. That's a big statement. And I think it, you know, let's face it, that's his why, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly what he's going to do there. You've got all these other competing needs and whys, and right? And so he's not burdened with that. And so therefore, he can move on. I think that's a big statement. So how do you keep, right? Because I just did an interview, and we spent a lot of time talking about staff, how to keep them, George Lawrence, keeping and motivating and, you know, all that kind of thing. How are you going to keep Kyle?
Okay. So here's an interesting story. Kyle doesn't work for us this summer.
Okay.
Kyle is having a child later this summer, early fall, and he got an offer to go work on the pipeline.
Wow.
If you have any idea about what those guys make, he's going to triple his income.
Okay.
Okay? So. Not just triple his income, but they work those guys 60, 70 hours a week. So he's going to triple his income and then probably double it again.
And, so this is a big opportunity.
And we asked him to accept it. You know, he came to us with the idea that he might be able to get on, and we said, you have to. And so we do not have anything in place to replace Kyle other than me currently. So this is our opportunity to really, really start focusing on the areas where we think that we would best serve ourselves.
So you might give up something because of this.
I'm absolutely going to give up chaos days.
Good for you.
My chaos sourcing.
Right.
I think that outside of absolute replens, we're going to give up OA. There will be no hunting.
Even with the tools of today, tactical arbitrage and OA X-ray and all the rest of those tools, makes it easier than it ever was. I gotta qualify this. It makes it easier than it ever was to potentially find product. The challenge is those same tools are available to, there's 200 people here. When I asked who used tactical arbitrage, almost every single person raised their hand.
Sure.
And so therefore, while it's easier to potentially find them, it's more difficult to find them because everybody else has the same thing. Is that your experience?
Listen, I met Alex this year, finally. Alex is a great guy. Alex has created a great software. Alex is always working to make that software better. I've used Alex's software. I didn't catch on to it the way that some people have. There are people that are so efficient and so darn talented in the way that they use tactical arbitrage that I'm not in the same league.
So you're out, yeah, I was gonna say
now,
you're
if
out of
I
your
wanted
league.
To, if I really wanted to, could I get to their level? It's entirely
For sure.
possible.
For sure.
Here's the problem. I don't enjoy OA.
Right.
And one of the reasons I'm in this business is because I enjoy what I do. So if I start doing things that I don't enjoy, there's probably a job I could go get that I like better.
You know, I did an interview with Dan Miller. If you know who Dan Miller is, Dan's an author, best-selling author, blah, blah, 70 years old. And he says, Steve, every year I give up 10% of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, 10%, even though it's profitable. And I'm like, well, why would you do that? He said, because I'm so excited about what I'm going to replace it with. The potential of what's going to replace it will make me continue to enjoy what I do. I'm 70 years old. I don't need the money. I want to make sure that no matter what, I'm always enjoying what I do. And I'm like, wow, that's so powerful. So you walking away from something that's still profitable for you is a big statement. That's a maturity.
Yeah, and sure, it's profitable, but like I said before, it's little piles of money. We find little piles of money everywhere, and we get stars in our eyes, and, you know, it's profitable, but it's also a distraction.
Right.
So.
And it's not a distraction that you love. I mean, you just said that you don't enjoy it. So
OA research is not something that I love at all. So. And Brittany doesn't truly enjoy it either.
So she would pass. So if you had to replace it and you needed money, you could just go do more RA because you still do love that.
I do. I do enjoy it.
I'm not saying you're going to, but I mean, if you had your druthers.
Yeah. I enjoy the drive. I enjoy the podcast on the way there. I don't listen to podcasts when I'm at home.
Okay.
I never hear your voice when I'm at home.
Oh.
When I'm in the car, that's when I listen to podcasts and I enjoy it. And I enjoy being out in the world. And I do enjoy being alone to some degree, and
right.
it offers
that's
me
fair.
That alone in a sea of people, right? But
but that's fair
it
because
gives me
you're,
time
you're home
with
your spouse, you're home with your kids all day. That alone time is very important.
I like the networking because I do network out in the world, and I've built networks out in the world, and I enjoy seeing those people that I've built relationships with, and I enjoy the find. And again, it's mostly replens, but while I'm there, I'm going to let's see what I can add to this. I do enjoy it. It could be tough to give up, even if I found a business that made me $1 million a month. I might still go sourcing from time to time because I truly like it probably more than any other source of Amazon income.
You know, so what's cool about when I do these live things, I get to look in their eyes And I can actually see deep in your soul that that's true, what you're saying. I mean, that, you know, you're not just playing that. I mean, that's real. Mm-hmm. That's a very real statement.
But I also, I do, I enjoy wholesale too. And RA helps me with wholesale.
Okay.
I got a wholesale account just a few weeks ago directly as a result of doing RA.
Because you saw something, you thought it was clever, and then you spend the time researching how do you get a long-term commitment to this product.
Yes.
Very smart.
Yes. Very and it's smart. It's actually a really good account.
So is that a strategy going forward? Because did that open your eyes?
It's always been a strategy.
Okay, but did that open your eyes that however easy or difficult it was to get that account, did that satisfy the treasure hunt kind of the you know, ooh, let me woo this person, let me get it, and then boom, I closed the deal? Does that satisfy some of that?
It does, yes.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, that's a very cool way to do it, as opposed to, and there are a couple wholesale guys here, you know, the wholesale formula guys, I mean, their model is, you know, find the products out there, you know, based off of Amazon, go backwards and find the accounts and then try to close those deals. And there's some satisfaction in that. But in this, you actually get the, I saw it, like, you know, on the jungle, and I saw it sitting up there, and I went and I hunted and I closed the deal and I killed it mm-hmm. and dragged it home.
And the beauty of it is it wasn't even a difficult account. I've chased accounts for months, and when it seemed like everything was going right, I ended up with no account.
Snatched away.
Yeah. And I've also gone after accounts that I thought were going to be impossible, and inside of 20 minutes, I won. Like, not to say that they didn't win too, but...
And you're clear that you're going to sell it on e-commerce. You're very clear up front with that, with these wholesale accounts.
Oh, my goodness. I was telling him, you know, I came in so excited about this product and trying to tell him, listen, I noticed that you're not on Jet. I noticed that you're not on Walmart.com. I noticed that you're not offered on Amazon UK. And I see that you've already got a few Amazon sellers. It looks like you probably have an exclusive, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I don't care what you do with it. $8 a unit, minimum order of 80 units.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, this guy's so old school, he didn't have any other way to take my payment other than over the phone, right? So 4 days later, we've got 200 units sitting in our garage.
And you're sending them to all those different marketplaces.
This was 30 days ago. We're on order for 400 more units right now.
What I was attractive in that conversation, that little snippet there, was Jet, Walmart, UK, and Amazon US. You're now in so many marketplaces, right?
Right. But Jet and Walmart are fairly automated.
Right.
Right. And Amazon UK, we're not even there. I know people that if it's going to help me get an account, I will, you know, are you in the UK? Yes, no. If it's no, I'm like, I'm going to hook you up with a guy. He's a great guy. He's going to get your stuff into the UK for you. If you guys can work out a deal, I'll put you in touch, and I'm going to excuse myself from the conversation. Thank you very much. I'm not trying to get a kickback on either end. But it could help me get an account, and so I feel good about putting some people
eventually in. That other person you connect with probably gives back to you in some way.
Yes or no?
Right. You're not going with an expectation, but generally that's what happens.
No, because it just confuses things, right? I don't need to be...
No, not making money back, but just, hey, I have an opportunity for you in the U.S. Would you be interested, Michael? Has that happened?
Potentially.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you're talking about software. Why move into that world? What is attractive to you with that?
Okay, it was one of those where I wanted something.
To solve a problem.
And I waited for it, and I waited for it. I waited 2 years for somebody to create the software that I wanted, and nobody did. So listen, I could have done this 2 years ago, but I didn't. So I had an idea, and I don't really know what to do with that idea other than to approach somebody that gets stuff done. So I approached Chris Grant and said, you know, if you're interested in doing this with me, I would love to do it with you, but I've got to be honest, all I have is an idea. I don't have any of the know-how about how to create the product, and I really don't have the know-how or the desire to market the product. So if you can facilitate, you know, the other end of it, all I have is an idea. And he said, let's do it. And so...
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we don't have to go right where it is yet because it's not ready for public consumption yet.
No.
Let's get close. However, I mean, it's a viable... It's working. It's being tested. by more than you.
Yeah, there's
several.
There's a couple glitches on my end, which is just frustrating because it's not necessarily happening to other users. So I think it's got something to do with the way my Chrome is set up.
Okay.
But that needs to be addressed.
Right.
Because my Chrome isn't faulty. It just might be different. So our developer has to definitely tweak a few things before it's ready for launch. But the few users that we do have, including myself, would have to say that it's impacted all of our businesses in a positive way.
More if it, again, we're, you know, this is another one of those 100 reasons why you have more time.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably lopped off a couple of those hundred with this, because you solved several problems. I remember seeing you sent me some information. So you solved several problems for yourself, but you took the initiative to do that. And when I think about the most successful businesses, almost all of them started that way. They had a problem. They couldn't find somebody. They couldn't find a solution to it out there. They couldn't find anybody who wanted to move forward with it, even when they talked about it. So they ended up saying, heck with it, I'm just going to do it myself.
Yeah.
That's really how most successful businesses really get started.
If I'd started thinking about software earlier, who knows what I'd be doing now? Because since this idea, since I got it out in the open, we're probably going to start working on another one pretty soon. And I was having a conversation with Brad DeGraw last night. We were sitting down just, you know, chatting about this and that. And an extension popped in my head that's Alibaba related. I don't know about their API or anything about it. I have no idea if it'll work, but it popped in my head, and it would be super awesome, and it would be super easy to do, I think, and it would be super inexpensive. And from that extension, another one popped in my head immediately, and they might both be garbage, but at least they're coming.
So it's like a floodgate that opened for you. So you're, and I use this phrase all the time, Mike can look at my hands as I move them. You have these self-imposed limited boundaries based on what you know, what you've experienced in your life. Now all of a sudden you moved it out because you were like, whoa, I could do this. And then all of a sudden you did it. And now all of a sudden they get wider and wider. It's a guy who couldn't run under a 5-minute mile until somebody did it. And now a gazillion people could do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden those limits were taken away. And here you are now into this. You're in a creative mode. Did you think, because you're pretty calm, pretty chill guy, did you ever think of yourself as a real creative?
Actually, I mean, I think that I've always been an idea guy, and if that means I'm a creative guy, then yeah.
Yeah, ideas are creative. Can be.
You know, I've never written a story. I'm not a painter. I don't sculpt, but I do have ideas. And, you know, a lot of them are bad ideas. When you have ideas all day, you're going to have a lot of bad ideas.
Yeah, majority of them, right?
And but here's the problem. If you have enough bad ideas, you're going to start convincing yourself that all your ideas are bad.
Okay.
So you have to bounce your ideas off of people. And I bounce ideas off of Brittany constantly.
Again, this is the partnership at that level, love and trust and respect, because that's what you guys are. Mm-hmm. When you have that, that's what this allows you to do.
Yeah, and her job, not that we decided it's her job, but trust me, she's good at it, is to start shooting holes in my ideas before encouraging me. But on occasion, she says, you might want to look into that. And listen, that's how our business has grown over the years.
But that's a big statement, right? Because I know how much you respect her. If she says that right off the cuff, you're like, whoa. Right? I mean, it doesn't happen that often, right? So that's like a big moment for you, like, wow, I really do have something. That's pretty cool. That's a cool place to be, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, it's never easy to have a great idea only to have somebody point out why it's a bad idea, and then you realize, you're right, that's a bad idea. That's not fun, but I don't get choked up about it, right?
And I liken it to this. It's like a pencil, right? Every time you get a little sharper, right? You do something, you get a little sharper. Your bad ideas might not be so bad because you're already like, well, that piece of it is already dumb. I know that because I've already been down that path. But now this piece, this is a little twist on it. Maybe there's a little thread here. And if you can keep pulling at the thread, eventually it gets to a string, and a string becomes a rope, and eventually, you know, it can become a chain or a piece of iron.
Mm-hmm.
So you're moving forward, and I agree. I got to do a Brittany interview without you, just from perspective.
It would only be fair.
It would only be fair, and we're both afraid of her, so we better. she's spectacular. You guys are great together. So you're going to work on software, you're going to keep expanding there. What's next for Michael? What's missing for Michael? How about that one? Ooh.
I think what's missing is exactly what I've already kind of touched on it. Focus, right? I was already doing everything, and suddenly now I've got a software thing going on, and I believe in Chris. You know, Chris is rarely wrong about things, and when he came out and started talking about merch 2 years ago, he wasn't wrong then, and he's not wrong
now. Chris Green.
Yeah. Sorry if I wasn't clear.
No, because we were talking about Chris Grant too, and I'm thinking he's right too. Yes. I'm like, all right, which Chris? Because they're both right, and I'm thinking, okay, so Chris Green.
Yeah, when he started talking about merch 2 years ago.
Amazing. Think about that.
He wasn't wrong then, and he's not wrong now. Right? It's still growing. People have built serious businesses there.
Six-figure businesses.
And there's a lot of opportunity to continue building businesses there. And we talked about it. Am I a creative guy? We're going to find out, because I'm giving up my chaos sourcing days. I'm not going to get distracted with OA. Why do it? I don't like it. We're already making a couple $100 a month on merch, which is not a lot, but we put in zero effort, right? Or at least I do. Brittany puts in all the effort, but it's not much. If you compound your effort, you're going to compound your sales. You're going to compound your net, right? So he thinks it's the greatest opportunity right now on Amazon.com. And he may or may not be right about that, but he's on to something.
You know what? If Chris Green's saying it, I'm with you. Hence the reason he earns the right to come at every 100 on my show, because he's earned that right because of that, his depth of thinking and experience and bringing it to us. You know what? I'm sitting here thinking about these small wins you keep having, right? And like you say, they're small piles of money, but they're small wins that you seem to be just keep knocking them. You know, maybe I don't know, doubles, maybe triples. I don't know how many home runs. But they seem to be compounding, which is what you're describing, over time, right? I always say that. Make the next right decision, and then make the next right decision, and the next right decision. All of a sudden, you have a trend, and you can take and turn a ship, right, completely around by taking and keep making the next right decisions. These small wins that you guys have really compounded. And so those few $100 probably allow you to have this. Mm-hmm. So a few $100 more allow you to have that without effort much. That's a big statement there, dude. I mean, I love the way you're building. It's slow and steady does win the race.
Slow and steady does win the race. We have abandoned things in the past. You know, we're like, this is great. We're making good money here, but we should be doing this other thing, right? Like, we just up and quit RA for a while. Like, this was not long after we spoke to you the first time to fully embrace a wholesale model. And to fully, it was like a mix, but we were going to do wholesale, and we were also going to start doing we were going to start marketing ourselves and doing coaching. And well, what we found out was, even though they're like, we didn't really enjoy the marketing and the coaching as much as we thought we would.
Right.
So we pulled back from that.
There are some people that make it look attractive, but
there's some people that make it look easy and attractive
because they're good.
But if I'm doing something in my business where I can feel my blood pressure going up, I'm in the wrong business.
Right.
So,
right.
Love it. I don't like the feeling.
It's so. Self-awareness. Gary Vee would say, Mike, you are so self-aware. That's why you're having so much success. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I literally picture him sitting here saying, I can't believe how self-aware you are. That is awesome.
Yeah. So coaching got my blood pressure going, which means I wasn't confident enough in myself to instill confidence in others. And that's a disservice to them and to myself and to my family. So we got out of that not long after we got in. And, you know, wholesale can be the same way.
Yeah.
No, I do experience anxiety when I'm trying to get accounts. They're so beneficial that sometimes I usually push through.
Right.
I'm not a great pitch man, but once I get on the phone, I can usually land something.
Okay.
I can get something done.
Well, you know what I want to do is I want to close with this. A best way for somebody, if they want to follow up with anything that you have, because I think the self-awareness is where that's why I love closing with that. That's the thing. I always ask people, hey, what can you do in one thing in your business? It's it, self-awareness. And you hear it in Michael. Go back and listen to 36 and listen to Michael now. and you'll hear a different Michael. Best way to get in touch with you, Mike?
Oh my goodness, Brittany has so many different. Well, Facebook,
okay,
first of all.
So Facebook, I'll
Michael
put the
Ross on Facebook.
There.
I know there's a million Michael Rosses, but you'll find me in as a member of other Facebook groups. Brittany, Britni, also. It's probably the very best way to get a hold of us. It's just
through
Facebook.
And I'll have the links in the episode.
And yeah, and we're happy to talk to anybody.
All right, man, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I wish you nothing but success.
Thank you too, Steve.
Take care.
So that's that. How do you work together? How do you work towards common goals? That's really the lesson that I think you're going to learn from this couple and an upcoming couple I have too. It's just so smart the way there's that respect and that trust. I mean, there's a trust there that, you know, even two best friends can't have where a marriage can withstand. And man, oh man, these guys are on the same page and there's no doubt they're going to be successful. The next episode coming up after this is going to be Brittany. It's really, really good. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.